The Reef Therapy Podcast is powered by ICP Analysis. If you'd like to win a free saltwater ICP analysis kit and a freshwater analysis kit, all you have to do is leave a comment down below using the hashtag #WhatsInYourWater. If you're listening to the audio-only version, head on over to YouTube and you can enter in the comment section there. ICP Analysis will test over 50 elements down to parts per trillion. These tests can also be used to see if there's any undesirable elements in your aquarium as well. Register your aquarium on the ICP Analysis app, fill your sample, place it back into the bag, slap on that included postage, and have your results 1 to 3 days after it's received. More at icpanalysis.com.
Hello, Reef Builders, and welcome to an episode here in the studio. I have Sarah and Chelsea here with me hanging out on the couch, and we've all, well, two of the three of us have been traveling today. I just got done doing a 9-hour car ride here up to Colorado from Kansas City. And then Chelsea, you were having fun though, up in the mountain.
Yeah, so we got jealous. To do a little bit of boarding and see the pretty snow.
Yeah, your view, she sent me a picture of her view and she's like, I'm driving in. And I was like, wow, that's such a better view than what I'm currently looking at, which was like all open prairie. In a railroad
brown
track.
And dusty.
A little brown and dusty, but that's okay, it was cool. And then Sarah just lives here, so yeah. She just hangs out whenever she wants to.
My commute was definitely a lot easier than your guys' commute.
Yeah. So Chelsea and I are like kind of a little tired, but we're gonna make it through here because yeah. Reef Stock is coming. We're here, we're getting ready to start having an excellent weekend hanging out with everybody, and you guys actually are getting to present at the show. I have had the lovely duty of putting the show together behind the scenes a bit. So I wrangled these two into the show. They previously did not know they were going to do anything until I told them they were going to.
Voluntold to do talks. It's not bad.
Yeah. Hey, girls, you're doing this and then you're doing that. That's roughly how it went, I think.
So. Less time to think about it, so you just act.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, yeah.
You have to stress over it. It's just going to happen.
This is happening.
It was just a text. Have I told you you're doing a talk?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. You're getting on stage. Prepare yourself.
Chelsea, bring your hammer and chisel.
Yeah, and glue, some rock, you know, going to play around, have a little workshop, which is what you're doing, Chelsea. You're doing an aquascaping workshop.
Yeah.
And that's because she's little bit of a aquascaping champion here. So
I can't wait to attend it. Bring that up every podcast.
We are. Yeah. We have the aquascaping champion, Chelsea.
Got it. You need like a belt.
I know.
We thought about getting one of
we
those.
Do. We do. Just have like some rubble trim on it.
And then I'll keep it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You just keep it. Never let, that other person ever get me.
Yeah, I'm excited because I just finished a 220 build. And so, you know, my mind's still going. So I hope I have some
good juices flowing.
Good juices
that,
flowing.
That kept you really busy because we have a group chat and Chelsea is so interactive with like letting us know like some of the stuff that she's doing. So we all kind of live vicariously through her on some of the projects she's working on.
It's okay. And you could say I blow up your phone.
It's so awesome. Well, technically it's both of us blowing up Sarah.
You two are the chatting.
Sarah. Yeah. So Sarah and Jen probably log in and it's like, all right, you have 150 messages to catch up on because Evie and Chelsea decided to talk
until 1 a.m. I think the most was 60.
60?
Oh,
60?
I think the most was 60. Okay, well, that's not as bad.
You're like doing surgery on a scorpion and you're like getting message after message about
it. I have. You're just I've never done surgery on a scorpion, but I have on a horseshoe crab.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah,
that is cool.
We're going to have to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, yeah, you are. Well, we can talk about that maybe later.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Talking about inverts and things like
I
that.
I know. That's what we want to talk about tonight. So we want to talk a little bit about cool inverts, maybe some unappreciated inverts, making sure that you have, you know, some of the unfortunate but good things happening in your tank to actually facilitate certain types of inverts. Mm-hmm. But going back to our restock chat real quick, Sarah is actually one of our speakers. This weekend, you're doing a chat.
Yeah.
Subject is?
Probably we're just going to be highlighting some of the other really awesome talks and workshops that are going on, talking about coral health, ways that you can help diagnose issues in your tanks to really find the right tool for the issue to allow for more surgical approaches to correcting issues within your coral and your reef health.
Oh, dude, so you're going to talk about like all the neat little utensils and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So we talk about mechanical ways that you can support better health, nice. Chemical ways, biological ways. So just giving out my toolkit that I use personally to help keep my coral alive.
I always loved that part. Like, are you guys like...
Your dental tools?
Yeah, your dental tool snobs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to have, like, everything looks super clean.
Yep.
Like, I could not stand it if any little speck of rust or unfortunateness hit my tools. Yeah, it's just, it's over with. I don't like you anymore.
Well, they're, like, I think they're so valuable, dental tools. And they're, like, $7 on Amazon. If you want to pick up, like, a cheap set, you can buy the nicer ones that are available from different retailers and brands. And they will probably hold up a little bit better with long-term use in like the marine world.
And they come in cute little bags.
Yeah, I got their little pouches and stuff. But as long as you're doing proper maintenance on your tools, like you're washing them with fresh water right after, you're drying them, you shouldn't see rust as being an issue.
Let me ask you this. You ever thought about pottery tools? Because they're kind of in like that same category. I've used some of those because I used to do some pottery and they have some of those. If you didn't know they weren't dental tools, you would think they're dental tools.
Yeah.
But a little different shapes, little curvatures.
Yeah, so there's some of the spatulas.
They have like the metal tools too.
Yeah, and some of them are like, have sharper edges to them.
Yeah, where they do the intricate design.
Yeah, because you can do more like cutting with tools like that wedging. Yeah, than some of the dental tools. Yeah, I found that it's really fun to just play with the tools and figure out, because different people are going to favor different things. It is very much you find the tool that works best for you, and then like that's your tool, and somebody else's is a different one that they do the exact same stuff with.
Or they steal your tool. If you have ever worked in a fish store, you understand what I'm talking about.
Grease pencils, Sharpies.
It's not like how in offices where tape rolls and scissors go missing. It's like different dental tools go missing.
Yeah, like your fragging tools go missing. Sometimes it's like your favorite hose that you do your water changes with.
Yep.
Your favorite pump that you use. Yeah, or like that
turkey basters.
Yeah, turkey basters, that one drum that does not have the messed up squeaky wheel. You know which one it is, and you try to hide it from everyone else just so it doesn't become one.
And everybody else is thinking it's their favorite, so they're trying to hide it from you.
Yeah, and it just kind of turns into a whole like inner store, like turf war over tools.
Yeah,
it's always a good time.
When the clients aren't in the store, we're looking for everything that's gone missing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I used to write like down the hose for my water changes because I had a hose that was about 60 feet long that went from my 700 gallon SBS tank all the way back to a drain in the back room, and I had a ball valve for swapping it out, and I used to write like all the way down from one end to the other like, do not steal this like
and pink.
Like, no, I'd have it like all over. It didn't matter what color it was in Sharpie. And it'd be funny because like little kids would come in. You know how like when kids are younger and they're just starting to read, they read everything. So they'd be like, do not steal this. You will pay for it. Oh, what's that mean? I'm just like, I mean, they read it just fine.
Yeah.
Future employees.
Yes.
Yeah. They can read. Train Marley.
Yeah.
Half the battle Marley. Right there. Can follow the direction of what they read.
Very important. Very important.
Yeah. Read
You're
and
hired.
Execute.
What's up, little dude? Let's hang out. Oh my gosh. Speaking of like youth coming into the hobby, I mean, we get to have Salem come here for this show. This is going to be exciting. He's one of our newest members of the team. I know that I've been watching him do Reef Recap. Have you guys gotten to see any of his episodes?
I've been really interested in them.
It's really cool. I do feel sometimes while I'm watching him that I am like, I can keep up, but it's kind of like, okay, yes, I did understand what he said.
I have to like pull it back, rewind a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, yes, I got that.
Yeah.
Because it's refreshing to have him like hanging out and doing all that stuff. And he has like such a really neat personality. And you're just like, yes, love this. This is so good. And he's such a great addition to our team. We need to like have him hang out with us on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just let them join the couch.
Yeah, we should have Salem join our couch discussion sometime.
It would just end up in him and I talking about coral microbiomes for way too long.
That's okay. I'd sit there and gladly listen. Just listen. Be like, yes, please school me. I'm ready.
Anytime we're pulling more science into the hobby, I'm such a huge fan of, because there are so many great practices within science, mm-hmm. of that critical thinking, following process, and really, I love that we're pushing more for that.
Yeah.
Of people to really critically look at what is available, what are they being told, and how does that actually hold up to current peer review literature, or how do we incorporate peer reviewed literature into what we do in our daily lives? So I big fan. I love science being accessible and widespread. That's a lot of what my job is. It's just that education component.
Yeah.
So
well, you get to do it all.
Good synergy.
You get love to it. Do like the sciencey side.
The sciencey science, as opposed to just science.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like super science over there.
Yeah. A lot of it's just applied science. So we do a lot of work with taking things that are done in labs, which is really a lot of what the microbiology tends to have being done in labs. There's a lot of sterility and things like that. What we get to do is kind of the more nitty gritty, loose applied science.
Mm-hmm. That's my kind of science, the applied version.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I am too, where I love getting to take, okay, in this sterile condition, this works really well. But when you add all of these chaotic elements, how is this going to all work together? Or how does it? And I just love that I am constantly being surprised with results or things do something unexpected. So I love to learn. So anytime I can learn something new or fall down a weird rabbit hole, like that's 10 out of 10 for me.
Do you have anywhere that you go for like trusted peer reviewed sources? Because a lot of times as hobbyists, we're on our Facebook forum or we're on whatever forum, but you don't know who's behind the comment that was just made. So do you have maybe some suggestions for those listening?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I personally do, Google Scholar is an awesome resource that is a great, easy way to quickly find peer reviewed information. You type in Google Scholar, that takes you to a separate search engine, and you can type in, say I wanted to learn more about coral health. I can type in coral health or coral and microbiome or anything you're interested in, and you'll get any peer-reviewed literature that's tagged.
That's easier to access.
Yeah. Some of those will be locked behind paywalls, but a lot of them, if you look off to the right, it'll say PDF. And if it has that written there, you can usually get a free PDF and read through the article. Another thing, ResearchGate has a lot of free materials that is, I believe, relatively accessible to the general public. Because, not everybody has access to pay for these journals, mm-hmm. Or institutions that'll pay for these journals. So finding like cheap ways to get access to this really good literature. Also too, something I look at, like they'll give little abstracts, which kind of tells you what you're about to read. Mm-hmm. But I love to look at the methods section, because sometimes if I'm trying to figure out how to care for this weird rare invertebrate that nobody else has really cared for, the scientists who did work on it may have come up with some strategies to help care for it a little bit better. They had to keep it alive in a lab. And the bigger the sample size of the research, so the more participants in the study, the more accurate that study tends to be, the less bias there tends to be in that study. So I look for studies that have bigger sample sizes. So it'll be N equals something. So N equals 6 is like the lowest sample size. Yeah. And then anything above that gets really, you start statistically to get more significant information.
And then you just kind of keep going from one to the next. That's where the rabbit hole really starts.
Absolutely. Or I like hear a weird term and I'm like, what the heck is that? And I'm like Googling that. And then that is like a whole, and even like Wikipedia gets a bad rap. But you can look at a Wikipedia article and you can go down into the references, because it'll reference things and you can find research that is being referenced.
Although that's bringing back some college papers, so I don't want to go too deep back into reference section.
Right. And right, peer-reviewed literature can be pretty chunky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I it's something that I'm very comfortable with, but I think that there's a lot of opportunity. You can look at just the introductions and learn a lot about things. The abstracts can be really beneficial, just giving you like a brief overview.
I feel like I've seen that method that you were talking about in some of our old books that we used to have under certain species. It would come down and be like method for keeping this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was like a little section that was always helpful when you're scrolling through.
Yeah.
Coral. Okay. How's it kept?
It can be a way to quickly glean valuable information from something that is maybe a little bit bulkier than you would normally read.
Right.
I think there's also too, there's books. I'm a huge advocate of buying books. I've got the Comprehensive Aquarium Guides by Julian Sprung and Charles Delbeek. That's volume 1, 2, and 3. Those are written in a really compelling way where you're taking highly complex and scientific things and it's being put into layman terms that are really digestible and easy to navigate. Martin Moe does a great job too of taking really complex scientific concepts and making them really easy to navigate. So trusted resources like that, I think too, can really help you gain an idea of like the flavor of content. So you start to see how if someone knows what they're talking about, this is how they kind of come across. This is kind of how they sound.
Mm-hmm.
I find I'm much more likely to trust somebody if they go, hey, there's a lot of ways to do this, or this might not work for you. This is what works for me. Like those caveats, I think, are really important because there's no one size fits all in this industry. You're working with tiny little complex ecosystems and each one is different.
Mm-hmm. And everybody keeps water and everything totally different from one
you can
another.
Have two identical tanks next
yeah,
to
they
each
don't
other,
behave the same
and they
way.
Don't behave the same. They could have the same equipment. You can do everything the same. They're in the same room. So you're like, what the heck, man? You should be identical. And they're not. That's a big thing in jelly culturing. They talk about a lot where, because jelly culturing, you really have to be a lot more on your game of like keeping things clean. Because it's really easy to contaminate your cultures and stuff like that. But I think that when you start to get a feel for how people who really have this well of knowledge talk, it helps you get a little bit better at discerning what is really meaningful or what isn't. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a ton of wonderful resources on the internet that are not peer reviewed, because peer review is like a whole thing that is a lot of effort. It's a lot of time and energy. It's a lot of money. So somebody can have really valuable, meaningful information without going through that rigorous scholarly avenue. It's just a way that you can at least trust that information a little bit.
I feel like anyone that says this is the way, you should scratch your head a little bit and explore that, unless it's like a Star Wars thing. But other than that, if it's this is the way, okay, let me explore that a little bit, because that seems like a hard line, and we know that our aquariums just aren't like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance. And there's some things where I think recently in one of those recaps, right? Salem was talking about contaminating, about how bacteria can contaminate. And we want to make sure that we are being safe in what we're providing. So I think when it comes to safety, there can be harder lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about like palytoxins and palythoa poisoning that you guys were talking about on the talk you guys did when I was very sick. so sick. But
I know we didn't even get to hear if you had a story of getting ill.
I've accidentally gotten myself, because I was an idiot and was putting a frag onto some styrofoam to bag up a poly frag, and I like took the rubber band on my mouth. It's like direct hit. Just the rest of the talk was, or the rest of the day was just like talking like this, and everything tasted like metal.
Is that as far as it went?
You just kept walking.
You just like powered through.
Oh yeah, no, I was like, this is weird. I should probably mention this to somebody. didn't know what I like.
No, I wasn't at the dentist today. I just ate some Pally juice.
Just some Pally. I was like, oh, this is odd. What an odd thing to happen.
I think Jen like trumps all of us on list of injuries and hospital visits and near death experience.
I'm so squirrely. I will go out of my way to not get like for the first time in my string of time at Butterfly Pavilion, I got stung by the first thing.
Like, what
was it? It was just a bumblebee. It wasn't even anything cool. Like it was nothing impressive.
I really thought it'd be cooler, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Nothing impressive. No, it was a bumblebee. It was dumb. We were trying
to Madagascar.
No, not even Eastern United States bumblebee. The saucy bumbles.
Wow.
Yeah. I did have swelling in my arm for like 2 days though, and I was like, "Oh, this should be going down. That's not great."
You took care of him so well that he was like extra potent.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What little turds. Bumblebees, man. They PSA. Bumblebees, they look cute and fuzzy, but they're jerks. And I will go to the grave on that. All these reef people are like, "Why is she talking about bumblebees?" Side note.
We do little.
I want a graphic with a bumblebee. But
like band-aids with bumblebees on them.
Yeah, no, I'm really squirrely. Like I really try not to get tagged by stuff. I had a carpet anemone that lit up the back of my hand because I was treating aptasia with a syringe and it dropped down into the carpet and it was like, yes, food. And I was like, no, you'll puncture yourself. And so it wrapped.
Sacrificed yourself.
I did for that anemone. Did it appreciate that sacrifice? No, it did not.
Did it leave behind all its little barbs? And
oh, dude. Yeah, that took like a month and a half to heal fully. And I had scarring for a solid 3 or 4 months after that. Just from the top. The stuff on my hand, because your hands are nice and callous. Inside.
Yeah, it just comes right off there.
Yeah, but this soft baby tissue.
Or like right on your forearm inside.
Inner forearm, man. Because you got lit up by those.
Yes, that was.
That euphilia?
You saw those welts. Yeah,
those brutal.
Yeah, Chelsea shared a lovely photo.
I don't know what's stung me.
It's still there.
Yeah,
nice.
That's it's like a month later.
Battle wound.
And I don't even think I touched that thing.
Yeah.
So my body was like.
Meat tenderizer.
It was just happy.
Who has meat tenderizer laying around? We need to ask you about this.
Yeah, okay, yeah. How did you come upon the discovery?
No, somebody told
it. Tenderizer.
So, you know, in aquarium hobby lore, right? Some old aquarist passed it on to me and I've now passed it on to young aquarists. But what the meat tenderizer does is it kind of like opens up the pores of your skin and it allows the nematocyst to come out a lot easier. So it kind of neutralizes it a little bit.
But did you have it laying around your house or you're like, I'm going to go
get
this
for
this?
Yeah, do you just like keep it in like your fragging bag?
Yeah,
like,
I keep it in the fragging bag. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. So I keep it as we have it.
Is there a brand that you like more than others? Like,
I don't
stay
away
from like McCormick?
I think I can only ever find, like, no. Don't get it with seasoning in it.
Okay. Just rubbing oregano all over.
I think my dad made that mistake. I was like, yeah, it's just got like some extra seasoning. Like some pepper in it too. Rub salt.
Open up your pores and put in some oregano.
Yeah, but it works really well. Had great success with that. If I throw it on, if I'm feeling even just the precursor of something got me, throw that on there. Let it just sit for a little bit. I like to make it I put water on it and
so
then.
So you make like a paste?
Like a paste kind of, yeah. And just let it sit there for 5-10 minutes.
So you're just kind of like.
So you start to tenderize.
You're just making your own.
Tenderizing your own.
Tenderizing myself. That's how you get that baby soft skin. Meat tenderizer. The cosmetic tips they don't tell you.
Cosmetic.
Don't do that. Don't put meat tenderizer on you unless you need to. But yeah, it's.
So don't replace like the sugar scrub or the salt scrub or anything like that.
With just meat tenderizer. Yeah, I keep it. We actually picked up in our first aid kit at work. We have just like a little thing of meat tenderizer.
All right, I'm convinced.
It's like a $2 investment. And
I'm putting it in the toolbox.
Maybe if it is, even if it is a placebo, it's a placebo that makes me feel better.
Trick my brain. I don't care.
No, I've had it work really well. We've used it for a variety of different reasons. And had it work great.
Dude. All right, well, Chelsea, you'll get to tell us what it's like.
I'm sure.
Next time you get tagged and you just
sure
kind of run around.
Because we've learned I'm squirrely.
Your client, you're just like, where is it?
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I'm putting it in my toolbox. But then it's like, okay, but you can't dip your hand back in the tank after that. So do you have a pair of gloves you like that aren't those massive,
just the ones that don't fit gloves that, you at all?
Oh, yeah, the red one, the red and blue one.
Yeah, is there any alternative to that?
I mean, I don't think so. That's what we need. That's the R&D we need.
It really
good gloves that fit well.
Yeah, you can actually maneuver. Like, how are you supposed to even grab a coral, like a fry?
Yeah, like my fingers are so small that, like, you know, it gets all messed up, and then I end up gluing part of the glove to whatever.
You can get like those dish gloves. They're not long enough, but
that's the thing.
You could like duct tape it, maybe.
I could, but then it's like, so I just drive around with that glove on all day.
Listen, sacrifices. I don't know. You're the one who got stuck.
I'm just trying to be practical. Like, what can I do moving forward that I'm actually going to do, you know?
That's fair.
And is it fashionable enough to wear it
all day? I don't
want to
be gen-level, like, hospital situation here.
Yeah. No, that's
but
fair.
But I do want to take precautions, but it's like everything we have is so inconvenient to use.
Yeah. I wonder if you could get away with, depending on the wound, how big it is, depending on how much you have pissed this coral off, even just, like, those waterproof bandages.
Okay.
That fully seal.
Those are really cool, but I never had really good luck with them. If I had when I would handle rock, like I'd always like bang up my knuckles and stuff. And you know, anytime I try to utilize any of those, you know, a couple of days after dipping in and out of tanks, it's just like, why?
We're like nixing everything. She's like, we're like, no.
It's okay.
You're trying.
I'm
You're
used trying. To it. Always keep going for a yes, but you'll eventually get it.
This is a company opportunity. We need armpit length gloves that we can.
Well, cause I mean, myco and vibrio are real and dangerous things too. So even if you, not only are there toxins in your tank, if you're messing with your coral and things that can light you up, like vibrio and mycobacteria can also be found in your tank. So I'm personally like religious with wound care when it comes to working in a system. So I will scrub up as soon as my hands are out. I take really good care of injuries, like putting Vaseline or Neosporin on them.
I think one of the listeners commented about the Vibrio
on
our last post. Someone mentioned that.
I've known people who have gone to the hospital from Vibrio and myco infections. Because if you have that's another thing too. Pay attention to your wounds.
Yeah.
If you are working in systems and you are noticing that something is consistently inflamed or is swelling, like don't put it off. Yeah. It's a lot easier to treat it when it's not like full blown septicemia.
Right.
Well, and you know, just little minor like notes that you can just even do. Like it's staying pink. Now the pink is turning more purplish red.
It looks angry.
It's starting to get upset.
Yeah. Anytime you see red streaking on something, that is bad.
Yeah.
That is PSA. That is bad. Go get that checked out. Because I've had stuff that's been like I've anointed or it's been inflamed, like wounds that I've been working in a tank on. And as long as you keep it clean and dry as best you can when you're out of the tank, you can reduce the risk of those things from happening. It's not something like I want everybody to like go home and fear their tank, because that's not what you should be worried about. But it's something to be aware of in the back of your mind when you're doing your routine and working on your systems. Is just that extra step of like, hey, I'm just going to be careful for my own personal health. It's an extra step that is meaningful.
What about flipping that around now? So what about the things that we might wear or fragrances or lotions and how they affect our tanks, right? Because I think that's something that I make sure I'm really careful about since I'm servicing multiple tanks a day. So no lotions, even the hand soaps that I use to wash my hands.
Yep.
You're just making sure you get it off yourself.
I always dip in the I would never put lotions on, like, period. Same. Knowing that I'd be even working around a tank or even dealing with like mixing water or anything of that nature. And when I would wash my hands, even without that on there, I would use like really hot water. So that way I was like, okay,
I'm gonna strip everything
in here. So I have this really kind of insane tolerance now for hot water. So I am that meme of like the fire just coming right out of the faucet.
That's just women.
That's
hands.
Me. That's just women.
Abby's just like, hot spring, we don't know her.
I'm geysers. If you have RO available.
It's toasty.
to wipe with the RO or like, I don't know if that's...
Yeah, wiping with RO for sure. And even just like, I was always really careful with like my towels. Like anytime I would even clean my towels, if I had to bleach, I would always do like a hot rinse like four more times. Like if I opened that washer and I could still smell anything, I was like, nope, you're going back through.
So we
that can still
we do dechlor and then we'll kind of do a nose test with dechlor. If it smells even faintly chlorine-y, we'll run it through another cycle. There was a guy when I worked at the fish store, we had this like standalone tank that would highlight different, it was a smaller cube, it would highlight different things that we were showcasing. Sometimes it had like seahorses in it, sometimes it had coral. I think one time it had a gem tank. And I remember he was having issues in the tank with phosphates and we couldn't figure out what was going on because he wasn't overfeeding. Like it was this whole weird thing. And then somebody watched him washing his hands and they were still sudsy. And we think that there was phosphates in the soap that was potentially getting into the tank.
That seems like, that I mean, just who puts their hands with suds?
Oh,
like,
oh yeah, and they weren't fully sudsy, but like there was some residual soap on
him. Or like when you see, like I have had to get on to, you know, employees or even like pre-tell my customers, like they would call me and be like, oh hey, I put my arm in my tank in a this really cool rainbow came off, and I'm like,
an oil spill.
Okay, let's not do that anymore.
Yes,
so. Definitely go wash your arm, everything, all the way.
And probably throw a bag of carbon in the tank,
Yeah, your skimmer's gonna be upset, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, and we were like, okay, dude, maybe like, let's wash a little bit more. So I think just being thoroughly. And the issues started to decline. So I can't.
Something as simple as hand soap can really.
Yeah, and like it wasn't an over, like it wasn't this huge issue. It wasn't catastrophic. It wasn't like the phosphates were crazy. It was just enough to irritate him that he couldn't get them down. So I think sometimes that's too, like if there's, when we're looking for problems, there's gonna be the obvious things where we're designed to look for a problem, where we've been trained to look for a problem. Cause your brain is really cool in the fact that it's really good at making connections, but correlation does not always equal causation.
Right.
So you wanna also take a step back and really like break down the entire process of every interaction with that tank to try and figure out what it could
be. Don't cut multiple things off at once, right?
One
at a time. Stop one thing, see if it works, then move, cause we get in panic mode and we're like, anything that
it's like, you change your whole routine.
You don't know what it was, right? So.
And again, you can think it was something and it was something else, or it was two things working together. But yeah,
that's there's a scientific process for you, right?
Absolutely, yes. You wanna make sure you don't have too many variables. And that's part of the scientific process is that variable component. Mm-hmm. If you're really trying to narrow down what the issue is and what the problem is, one variable at a time. If you have, with the caveat, with the little asterisk, if you have the time to do that. So if your tank is crashing, go into triage mode, right? Throw the kitchen sink at it, do whatever you need to fix the problem. But if you are trying to dial in, tune in, you've got a consistent issue that you're trying to work on, then that kind of one variable at a time approach is much more effective.
I had a tank actually that, and I did that kind of break it down one variable at a time. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, this client really liked those oil mistifier broom things.
Oh yeah.
He had three around the tank. And it was to the point where I was having a hard time cleaning the tank because I'm pretty sensitive to scents. And so I was in there like getting a headache and he was having some weird issues with his corals receding. And because they like vaporized, I was like, it might not be it, but let's just go ahead and move all three of these away. They can go anywhere else in the house, but not near the tank. And I think that's a common thing that we all have, like plug-ins, misters, somewhere in our house.
Even candles.
Oh yeah.
Again, may not have been what it was, but when we moved all those, no issues.
Yeah.
Or slowly, you know, progressed back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, cause I didn't want to change too much in the tank. That's it. That wasn't easy. Move.
Yeah. And you're going to have stuff like that where it's like, okay, well.
And is it worth it really? Like you can move it three outlets away.
Yeah. Your tank shouldn't smell like low tide. If things are going well, it shouldn't smell that bad.
Fresh laundry scent.
Clean linen.
You shouldn't need clean linen tank.
I think they're like, oh, this skimmer smells so bad.
Oh, my mom used to be like that.
I can see the skimmer being the culprit as to why a lot of that stuff gets plugged in because, I mean.
Cover it up.
It is.
It's a cover up though, people.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Clean the source.
My dad and my mom wouldn't let him use like the kitchen sink to clean his skimmers. Like he always had to like pour it out into the toilet and she'd make him use like the laundry room sink.
My husband doesn't even, we have two bathrooms and one is his. And he's like, are you pouring that fish stuff in my toilet? And I'm like, yep, it's the closest bathroom.
Would you rather like, me trip on the way to the other bathroom?
So then do you do like covert like skimmer dumping like in his bathroom? Then
interesting.
So he doesn't catch
Mission
him?
Impossible.
My personal tank, I have not. It's been running for 5 years. I've never run a skimmer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get away with it.
My clients' tanks, a lot of time, they have a skimmer. But like my tank, I'm dosing nitrates, dosing phosphates, and so I don't want to pull those back out.
What's your bio load on that system? Like what are your...
It's pretty low. Like, we were talking about this last time. I have a yellow assessor. I had the Swellie Sea Basslet, Paraclowns. The biggest thing in there is the Tamini tank. I think I got about 5 or 6, but they're all like within...
And what size is this again?
It's a reefer 350. So I think that's... Their numbers get me. But a 70 something on the top. And then so total volume is 93.
Oh, wow. And with that low bio load... Yeah,
that's really good.
I'm not surprised.
So then how big are the water changes that you perform and then how frequently are you doing them?
No, I'm just kidding.
Chelsea has left the chat.
I do neglect my personal tank just because I'm doing so many other tanks, but I probably get in.
Is it neglect if it's doing well?
That's the thing. I look at it and I'm like.
It's not.
It's happy.
If you're happy with it, the animals are doing well. It's not really neglect.
Yeah, I think the main reason that I end up doing water changes is not so much for dirt and issues, but to replenish things that I'm not that I don't have on a doser.
Yeah, that's limiting.
So, because I have some bigger colonies now, and they do need that alkalinity, calcium, magnesium. They need that, and when I'm not dosing it, I at least like my bare minimum is like, all right, let me go ahead and go in and do a 10-15 gallon water change. But if I let it get nice and dirty, it's really like, I love that gravel back. All the dirt coming out. But
why is it therapeutic though?
I don't know.
Why is it? Because I don't find the same satisfaction when doing regular vacuuming. So why is the gravel back so
good? You might just
need
a better vacuum. Because if you've got a really good vacuum that pulls up stuff, that can equally be a status. That can scratch a similar itch to a gravel vac.
Got to get that Dyson. Speaking of gravel vacuuming, really quick, little small thing. I cannot stand when I see, I gravel vac freshwater and saltwater differently.
Okay.
Maybe I'm crazy. But when I'm doing saltwater vacuuming, I actually lean more. So I'll lean.
Yeah, you have it more at an angle.
Yep, versus freshwater actually works
better. I feel like you have to really kick the sand up finally because it doesn't matter the trap door.
That's
because it's your substrate size. Yeah. Because you need different techniques to get different things out. The smaller the substrate, the more likely you are to just zip that away. So if you got like some sugar fine sand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like the what is that? The oolite that they use?
Yeah, the oolite.
Ooh, that stuff. But like the salt water, pretty much I do not go straight up and down on that because when you go to lift it up, when you're getting too full, the dirt, it just poofs right back out. But if you tilt it just a little bit, your sand can come out and the dirt can.
Are you like full? Like I keep, whenever I'm gravel backing, I've got my fingers in like a ready to go pinch. And
I do that too.
And you're just using that to like, I'll just totally dial in that speed.
Oh man, it's a science.
Oh my gosh. And when you finally like get the nuance of it and you've got the muscle memory.
Well, I'm not even looking. It's just
Just like you just know
watching the dirt.
Yeah, yeah. You don't.
The
even
worst
touch
though is when you're so in zone with it, that
and then the bucket overflows.
Yeah, the bucket overflows, or the hose pinches off, and you just absolutely did not even pay attention. You're like, oh man, and then you didn't. It was the one time you did not have your other hand on the hose, so then now you have to start all completely.
Waterproof
over.
Shoes and wool socks are 10 out of 10 for wet feet.
Yeah.
Now that's a nice big bucket.
I just rolled more dangerous. I was like, of course, this is going to happen when I'm wearing like regular clothes and regular shoes I would never do this in. I've got 10 minutes. We're just going to let this happen today.
Yeah.
It's always that time, people.
I haven't had a bucket overflow in a while. And it's like my
nightmare.
Okay,
well,
nightmare.
You do. It's going to happen now.
Now it's going to happen literally next week when I go up. Yeah. Yeah. It's like my nightmare.
You're going to be on like heirloom carpet.
Bamboo flooring.
The worst possible scenario.
It was always funny. So like when I was a service manager training other techs, I overheard a conversation. I had two new techs and they're like, dude, he's like around the corner, like behind the tank. He's like, dude, when you dump her water buckets, I would, you know, make them do the grunt labor and carry out my water. He's like, you have to swirl it at the end because she doesn't like if you just dump it and like all the dirt's still in there. So you got to give it like a little swirl. And then dump it. Because if you give it back to her, she's going to be like, what is this?
It's true.
I felt terrible. But I was like, I do have a procedure. I really do.
It's true. It's true. Because then it like, it stays behind and it coats the bucket the next round.
And
like,
part of it is muscle memory, right? Because like when.
Yeah, you just know to do it.
You do. And procedure of, and this applies for people at home. Procedure of how you do things. Because if you space out, you got kids running around, you got music playing, whatever. If you've done the same thing over and over, you won't have your Hannah test blank out and start all over if you know that you're sitting down, you're doing your test the very first thing, right? Like just so many times I've caught myself like, oh, did I plug that in? But my muscle memory was that, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Because this is what I do every time. I've literally called clients and they're like, check your pump, check your, and they're like, it's on.
Yes, but sometimes it is off.
Sometimes it's off, yeah. Everyone's imperfect, but like sometimes you catch yourself just on muscle memory.
Yeah. Muscle memory is a really strong thing. And I think that's another reason too, why kind of doing things the same way multiple times can help you also diagnostically. So if I'm personally a somewhat chaotic person, like in my approach to that, it doesn't come across. My brain is a wild ride. I have come up with things that help me focus in. And I do have some things where I'm very rigid in how I do. Like I have a process, but there's a lot of times where I don't have a process. And that has bitten me because it's been really hard to diagnose if something went wrong.
Right.
So having that consistent process where you do things in the same order or you do things consistently, when you do have a problem arise, can really help you work backwards of what went wrong this time and go from there.
Yeah, 100%.
We're all just detectives. We're reef detectives. What is going wrong today? There's been a murder of your nitrate levels.
Dude, or of the bucket overflowing. It's always a good time.
You must have had a bad experience.
Well, I never used to deal with like a whole lot of the 5 gallon buckets. Mm-hmm. I would just get in my zone and just use a 40 gallon drum. So I would work my way down a row and I'd be like, I've got time.
Yeah.
I have plenty of time. I can do at least 10 more tanks. Da, 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 da. And then it's always whenever you decide you're brave enough to just not look at it, or it's like off to the side slightly behind you. Mm-hmm. And then someone will talk to you. They'll come up to you and ask you maybe a question or something if you're in the store, and you'd get involved in talking to them, and then you start, they're like, oh, you've got your stuff coming out. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. So did I
floor drains
help you out there? Let me just, I'm gonna clean this up. Please give me a minute here.
Well, I think too, it's really easy to get into those habits and those procedures and things like that. But I always advocate for us at least have a section of your routine where you are fully focused.
Yeah.
Because that's gonna be how you catch issues that are just starting to crop up. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work with animal welfare where we're constantly looking at our animals, assessing. And part of a lot of the work with the Florida Reef Track Project was like monthly photos. And I didn't realize how valuable those were until being a part of the project. Like we do daily record keeping, but actually having photos I could compare, or taking the time to sit with the coral for just a couple of minutes and really look and inspect all of them, trained me a lot better to identify issues as they started to arise, where that little like aquarius spidey sense where like something isn't right, I don't know what it is, and then in a day or two, okay, I'm starting to see tissue thinning or tissue recession, or it was paling in one spot. And so having that attention to detail, that fish is doing a weird behavior I've never seen before, having that focus can be, even if it's just like, I give myself 2 minutes and I just look at my tank really hard for 2 minutes and then can zone out on the rest.
Okay, but are you the person who like gets up like right against the glass and has to look at, because that's
like wake up fishy.
Me. That's beep, beep, beep. Well, no, I just, I'm I get in there like, don't be a Darla.
Don't be a Darla.
Don't be a Darla. No,
you get so close, you accidentally hit your forehead.
Well, no, you just get so close to it and then you come back to like reality and like, what am I doing? I'm like right up in this thing's grill here.
Yeah.
Well, you should
be. But you get like totally enveloped in the
whole entire thing.
You
have a tiny piece of the ocean in your living room. You should be fascinated by it.
Oh,
it is cool as heck.
And I think that's one of like, I feel like I have a list and there's certain things that make for a good hobbyist, a good pet parent, and attention to detail is on the list no matter what pet you have, right? Mm-hmm. It's just there's certain qualities and traits that we need to develop if we own animals that help us take care of them.
Yeah,
that's just part of what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's been cool to see with the advent of all like these controllers and these new resources for measurement and ICP and all these resources. It makes it so much easier to track what you are doing and what your tank looks like and to get those snapshots, because all of that information is a tool for you to use when something does go wrong. So the more you have consistent records, the more you personally are keeping track of what you're doing, the more resources you have to turn back to when something goes south.
Yeah.
So they can be beautiful. They can be wonderful. Just things in your living room that bring you joy.
Techie equipment.
Techie, like fun things to fiddle with and stuff. But having that extra level of rigor where you're doing record keeping, I think really just benefits you in the long run. And it helps stores tell you, like if I'm working at a store and you come to me and you're like, okay, these are my care records. And you like put down a notebook. And I loved when people would bring me their notebooks when they're like, hey, I would like to get my water tested. This is what my test kit is testing. Yeah. And you can use that to check how your equipment's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, those just give you extra resources and extra availability. The least helpful thing in the world is my water is fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are your water parameters? My water parameters are fine.
What does fine mean to you?
Well, yeah. What does fine
mean? Because to somebody who keeps acros, nitrates and phosphates are going to be a very different beast than somebody who's keeping softies or has a Fowler tank, right? So more data.
And on the equipment end, something that like, when I'm dealing with my clients, sometimes like I'm just going to, on the Apex, you want your Apex to match your Hannah. And it'll be in a range of similar. But when you pull that graph out, that's when you see, oh man, like that alkalinity really dropped versus the little micro daily. You see like, okay, something is not right there. The temperature is off. The alkalinity is off.
I take any measurement tool with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. They are all within ranges. Some are really, really tight ranges and some have really wide variation. The more important thing is you're consistent in how you test using the test kit. So we'll see variation even between two people using the exact same test kit. We'll test it slightly differently. They will see the color variation slightly differently. And that can have huge impacts on what it seems like your tank is doing. But if you have the same person consistently doing it, they do it the same way every time, you're looking for that wiggle. The wiggle is more important than the actual value.
Right, exactly. That's why like sometimes people are like, it's 7.2 today, but it was 7.3 yesterday. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's when you look at it and you're like, okay, that's significant right there. Then we need to look at that.
For some people, they're like, my nitrates are always at 30, but everybody seems healthy and happy. And then suddenly their nitrates are at 100. That's very different. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you're not chasing a number, you are looking for the variation.
Yeah.
You're looking for that sudden destabilization of your system.
And that is when, so if you have a tank it's been fine in high range nitrate, because I've had this happen. My fish are fine, my nitrates are 150 plus freshwater tank. Mm-hmm. You add a new fish in, that's when you're going to see the problem, because the new fish is probably not going to be very happy going into 150.
Everyone else is acclimated to it.
Yeah. So I get that question a lot. Well, how come I added new fish and it did poorly, but all my fish in here are fine with high nitrates? Because it's probably not coming from 150 going into, you know.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind too. The big swings on parameters coming in for fish is usually when it gets shaky, and then big swings in our own tank on our own fish. But sometimes our stuff gets used to levels.
Yeah, that's why I tend to use, like, for us, we'll just use, when I worked at the store, we'd use API test kits.
Yeah.
They're solid for what they are.
Yeah.
They will help you identify where the wiggles are, as long as you're using them consistently. When you do some of the nicer test kits, the more high-end test kits, those I really target for things I'm dosing. So if I need that measurement to, if I'm basing what is going to be dosed off of a measurement, then like a Salifert's is going to be really helpful.
The calcium, the alkaline.
Yeah, I like the red seas.
When you start checking all those guys, yes, you want the nice test kits.
Yeah, because then you're doing a measurement against it. Mm-hmm. Having that range be smaller, much more important. And then using something like ICP analysis to then check again what's going on with your system. Mm-hmm. Having multiple layers of checks and balances is only going to help you. Might drive you crazy when the numbers don't match, but if as long as they're roughly lining up and things are doing okay, like I, because some of the ICP analysis stuff is really advanced trace. Yeah, it's very in depth, and those trace elements can drive you bonkers.
To read it for you and tell you.
Yeah, they can drive you bonkers if you don't know what you're looking for. And they really don't get too into the weeds with it.
Yeah.
If your tank is doing well and your checks and balances are lining up well, then you shouldn't have to worry. And if you do see something starting to go wrong, look for the most obvious solutions first. Work your way to the weird.
Yeah.
There's this there's a premise in science called Occam's Razor.
That's a cool name.
It's a fun name. But the premise of Occam's Razor is if you hear hoofbeats outside, 9 times out of 10, it's probably a horse, not a zebra.
Okay.
So the way that's applied is the most common answer is most likely what the issue is. And then you work up from it. It might be a flipping zebra out there.
1% out of 100.
Right? Yeah. You might have a zebra out there. But most of the time, it's probably a horse. Or I guess if you did this somewhere where zebra were prevalent, it's a zebra.
If you work at the zoo,
maybe it is a zebra. But yeah, just that simple principle of like, it's most likely a common issue and work your way from there.
Yeah.
Which can be frustrating. Again, if you're having to go variable by variable and things aren't going right, it can take time.
Yeah.
Good things never go quickly in aquatics.
And you want consistency more than anything, because that's going to help you understand how everything in your tank is even going to behave long term. And you know, I used to talk to my customers a lot and other hobbyists, be like, you know, chasing numbers is tough. It'll
drive you crazy.
Mind-boggling for you. Aim for consistency, consistent patterns, things of that nature, and that's when they'd be like, oh, okay. All right, so take a little bit of a step back, understand there's going to be some variables here and there, but that's natural.
Yeah, and there's variables in the ocean. Like we talk a lot about
rain,
how
hurricanes.
Yeah,
you can have
weather, heat.
Yeah.
Like we talk about how stability is really important and reef ecosystems are relatively stable, but it's relatively stable compared to like freshwater ecosystems that have high variability. You might have pH down at 5.4 in one ecosystem and up to 9.4 in like Lake Tanganyika. Mm-hmm. And the ocean, your band is much smaller, but there is still variability. There are still temperature fluctuations throughout the year. There are changes that happen with currents. Those things will over time impact these animals. So having some slight variation isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's when you have too many variables that you can't diagnose a problem is when it becomes
and
more
they just
issue.
Keep rolling
or
at you.
So much equipment that you can't diagnose a problem because you don't really need half that equipment.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah. I a lot of times when we look at our systems, we look at our systems through the lens of failure points.
That's yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
So every additional component is a new failure point added. And what you need to do as an aquarist is identify what is the ROI on that failure. And how does something fail? Does it fail in the on position and your tank is nuked at 96 degrees?
Which is what's cool about Apex, because you can choose that.
You can choose how it fails. You can choose that it turns on or off. Off.
Yep.
Absolutely. Even like with the amount of elbows you put in your plumbing, yep. or joints you put in your plumbing, do you spend the extra money and get the slightly longer piece of plumbing, or do you use whatever you've got and you do a coupling and you add another failure point?
Don't get us started on plumbing.
But that's something that you, and you'll start to see over time that usually efficiency is what most people who've got tons of experience tend towards.
And that's another characteristic or quality of like a good hobbyist, yeah. right? Like we're kind of hitting on some of these that make good pet parents and hobbyists.
Yeah.
Efficiency, attention to detail. Maybe we can hit a couple more on Sunday when we do our next talk.
Yeah, yeah. We should, for well, sure.
I think assuming, we should never assume that people have this information at their fingertips. So that's why I love opportunities like this to talk mm-hmm. about like our own experiences and just your excitement about the failure points, like, because it rings so true. But it wasn't intuitive.
Yeah.
I feel like this hobby, this field is not intuitive.
Yeah.
So many times it pushes you to think outside the box, to be more flexible in how you approach things, it does weird stuff where you're like, that's magic, that's not physics.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you're just winging it and you're like, and, hey, it works.
Yeah, you it wing works. It and then you try to reverse engineer what you did so you can replicate it. But the more voices that are out there, the more you learn and the more kind of critically you look at things, the more that just helps you become a better aquarist.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Agreed.
Totally. All right, so did we make it? I don't know what our time limit. All right, cool.
Oh.
Okay, we have the thumbs up. Nice. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed our little chat this evening. Ladies, thank you for coming to hang out tonight in the Reef Builder Studio with Reefstock right around the corner. Mm-hmm. We hope to see you all there, where you can actually catch Sarah having a speaker session and then Chelsea doing a workshop, and you can see me possibly running around trying to make sure everything's as organized as possible. So
if you see Evie, she might need a Starbucks.
Maybe. Or Red Bull.
Or Red Bull.
Or both. Red Bull. I can do both. I'm not opposed to, you know, totally rocking both of them. I'm
great. Anything with caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine. Caffeine is queen or king, whichever one you want. All right, cool, guys. Well, we will see you on the next episode. And I believe that we've got tons of content coming out pretty soon for a lot of coverage that'll be covering Reefstock, all the events we've got. Basically, almost everyone from the team here. So you're going to get to see a lot of really neat interactions between all of us in person that now we don't have the barriers of just being in our homes and having our cameras stare at
our
us.
Our Brady Bunch squares.
Yeah.
Trying to see who's talking.
Yes, for sure.
Hoping the Wi-Fi holds out.
Yeah. Well, we found out what the problem is, Sarah. Yes. It wasn't Andrew.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't the gaming behind the scenes.
It wasn't all the extra gaming, okay?
He was so good.
Andrew.
He was so good. He like sat in silence for an hour.
All of our poor husbands just trying to play their games, and we're like, get off the Wi-Fi.
Sean just goes and takes a nap. And then I come in there and I'm like, hey, what'd you think? He was like, oh yeah, I'm sure it was great.
You did awesome.
Cool, thanks, babe. All right, guys, well, we'll see you on the next episode, and that'll probably be with Remy and a whole bunch of other guests. And we do also have the 100th episode, so make sure you guys check that one out too. We're gonna have a lot of really cool people hanging out on the couch with Remy, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.